Hello, everybody. Welcome to this joint service blether. Whether you're watching in the morning time, afternoon, evening, or during the coming week, we're glad to have all of you join us today for this time to chat and catch up with each other about what's happening in our respective parishes. So this morning, we'll start the blether by checking in with Stella Gald in Blair Deaf Chapel Geary. Hi, Stella. How are you today?
Hello. We're all well, thank you. And looking forward to our services today. And in Blair Deaf, on this Sunday, we'll be using this material, so it'll be repeated in church for the joint service. And we'll have that between the Chapel Geary and Blair Deaf people in Blair Deaf Church. And in the afternoon at 2:30, Neil will be leading our outdoor service at Logie Durno Church, just out by Whiteford at Pitcapel. So that's at 2:30, and we hope for a sunshiny day as we did at Blair Deaf last week, which was a lovely service. And that's our news from our north end of the group.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Stella. Ewan, it's nice to see you. How are things with you and Clooney Money Mask?
Things are okay, thank you. And at Clooney Money Mask, we are just carrying on with our joint services. We are in Money Mask during September at 10 o'clock. And all going well, that's going to carry on through Money Mask and then Clooney alternate months. Apart from one or two services where we have two services in each church. But more information later on in the year about that. Our mainly music group restarted on Wednesday. It's now fully booked, and I think there's a waiting list. And so that's encouraging in terms of we can only squeeze so many people into our hall in safety. But I think there's over 20 families, so that's lovely to see so many people involved with it. And we're hoping and praying that carries on. This afternoon, this Sunday anyway, we are holding a gathering at Ardneedley, one of the houses on the top of the hill that overlooks Money Mask. We're having a cake and gathering sort of where people can come along, share fellowship. There's a marquee and three gazebos. So if the weather isn't great, there is room to be outdoors but undercover, and there's car parking in the neighbouring field as well as in the driveway to the house. So there's plenty of space. So all are welcome. Just you can pop in just for a cup of tea and a blether and then just head off. And you don't need to stay the whole afternoon. I'm on duty, so I'll be taking your names as you come in for track and protect, or test and protect rather. And there's all sorts of facilities to make sure that people are as safe as they possibly can. So we hope to see some folk at that in the afternoon. But that's all that's happening just now at Clooney and Money Mask.
Thank you very much, Ewan, for the sharing that. Much appreciated. Over to our friends in Kintore, to Neil Mayer and to Tose Shaibuna. Hi to you both. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much, Joshua. For those of you who weren't able to join us last week for the joint service, you might have missed meeting my new colleague. This is the Reverend Tose Shaimunda, and Tose is with us for the next 12 months on a familiarization placement from the Reformed Church in Zimbabwe. And how's the first week been for you, Tose?
Quite good. Enjoying and coping up, though I struggle with one or two, three things, but I hope and trust that I will cope up and be in the rail with others.
Fantastic. Well, it's lovely to have you here. If you're struggling to understand Tose's accent, imagine how much he's struggling to understand ours. So, lovely having you here, Tose.
Thank you.
A couple of things from Kintore. The next Sunday is quite a gala weekend, the 19th. A lot of things happening. So first of all, it's going to be the first Sunday that we're going to try to do teas and coffees in the hall after the service. We think we can do it in a COVID-friendly manner. So if you do come to our in-person service, you'll be welcomed with a cup of tea or coffee if you would like to after the service. Messy Church starts next Sunday, the 19th as well. That's our first Messy Church of the new session. And that will be a shortened one. We won't be doing dinner, but we'll be starting at 3 p.m. And that's for the whole church family to come along to that in the church halls. Also, at our service in the morning, we'll be dedicating our Girls Brigade. And then in the evening, we're starting also on the 19th at 7 p.m. on Zoom and in person at Kintore, we'll be starting a course called Meet Jesus. And in that course, you'll be meeting Jesus. And hopefully, if you would like to, at the end of that course, you'll be in a position to put yourself forward as a candidate for baptism or to make a public profession of your faith. But we'll have a chance to ask all the questions and answer as many of them as we can in the course of about 4 or 5 weeks for that course. And that's it from Kintore.
Very good. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Jose. I'm glad to hear that your time in Kintore is off to a good start. And I think back to when Heather and I first arrived in Aberdeenshire, when we had trouble with the accent as well, our approach was to smile and nod when we were spoken to, and that was a huge help. So but I'm glad you feel warmly welcomed. May that long continue. Just a little bit about what's happening in Kemnay, continuing with our Sunday pattern of worship in the sanctuary. And we are also continuing on Tuesdays and Thursdays with our lunch club, which runs from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays at the church center. And I think I'll take liberty as well, if I may, briefly speaking about the meeting we had last Thursday on the 2nd of September. We had representatives from all of our churches involved in this grouping meet for a time of discernment and discussion about the way forward with our partnership together. And I think on the whole, it was a fruitful and helpful meeting. And at the end of the meeting, there was a general approval to move forward with discerning the possibility of a union of our churches. So it's still in early days, and there's a lot of details and other items to be considered, but it's encouraging, I think, that there is a shared spirit of willingness to move forward together to reconsider how best to do ministry together. So I, for one, was encouraged by that, and I think that feeling was shared as well. So that's a bit about what's happening in our particular grouping. But friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us worship God together.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. These are words that we say often, words that we repeat almost without thinking. But let's think about them as we start our worship this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. He has given us another day to praise Him, another day to acknowledge Him, another day to serve Him. And so we will rejoice and be glad in it. So let's lift our hearts and our souls and be glad as we worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're now going to have our opening prayer. And our opening prayer is actually some words written by a chap called Neil Dixon many years ago, who I've adapted to suit. So shall we join our hearts and our minds in prayer? Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, in you is the source of all life, the font of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your days are without end, your loving mercies without number. We depend on you, and we remember your goodness to us and to those who have gone before us. We tell your story in every generation. You are our familiar God, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of a pilgrim people, your church. But you're not our captive God, not a God of our own making, not bound by us, not controlled by us. Ahead of us, leading us, guiding us and calling us, you are the Lord God, the all-wise, the all-compassionate. To you we lift our hearts and we worship you, one God, forever and ever. Loving Father, we rejoice in your dependability throughout all ages, Nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Relying on that love, we turn to you in penitence and faith. Moved by your holiness, we confess our sin. You call us to place our confidence in you. You have assured us of eternal life in Christ. You have declared to us that we belong to you through the sign of baptism, and you have poured your Spirit into our lives. But only with great timidity do we call you Father. We hesitate to claim Christ as Lord. We keep the Spirit's gifts to ourselves. Assure us again, good Lord, of your goodness. Make us afresh to be your living church. Raise in us a hymn of praise, that we may be joyful children of a loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Today's reading comes to us from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of God. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And if the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is God's word to us today. To the Lord be the praise and the glory, forever and ever.
In a nutshell, what James is trying to teach us in today's reading is that what you say matters. Of course, he goes into a bit more detail about it than that. The first thing James says is that words create reality. He uses three metaphors to describe the power of the tongue to affect our physical world. The first metaphor is of a bit placed in the mouth of a horse to steer the horse where you want it to go. The second of a rudder on an ocean-going ship. And the third of the smallest flame setting a whole forest ablaze. But to say that words create reality is more than just a metaphorical way of saying that you should watch what you speak, what you say. In the 20th century, philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein argued that there is a much more direct and even physical connection between the words we utter and the reality that unfolds before us. Our words actually steer the events of our lives. They make things happen for good or for bad. They don't just report truth. Words actually create truth. According to Wittgenstein, reality is shaped by the words we use. He put it this way, for example, he says, if we spoke a different language, we would perceive a somewhat different world. Now, this should sound very familiar to us in the Christian tradition, because, of course, we believe that the world was created through the spoken word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we're accustomed to words affecting things. Jesus, after all, is the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us. The second thing James points out is that words can either hurt or heal. He expresses it this way. He says, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. About a decade ago, quite a lot was written about the power of blessings and curses, and some of it, I have to say, was fairly fringe spirituality. But there's really nothing spooky or airy-fairy about saying that blessings and curses work. It's simply just expressing the reality that what we say matters. And you know how this works. You know, for example, how a word of gossip can ruin somebody's reputation. Or conversely, how a positive word of mouth can sell an idea or a product. The third point James makes is that words interact with the being of the speaker, and this is a slightly deeper issue. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? James's intention here is to show that if your heart belongs to Jesus, then your words really should reflect that fact. In other words, the good or the bad starts from within and then comes out through what we say. But behavioral psychologists in the 20th century have started thinking about them more deeply and would actually go a step further than what James is saying. They would argue that what we express in words and actions actually alter what's going on inside of us. In other words, there's a feedback loop here. It's not just that what's inside of us comes out in words, it's also that what comes out of us in words has a way of feeding back into changing that which is within us. They have simple experiments too. For example, that if you laugh or force yourself to laugh, you can actually start feeling better. But on a much more serious level, it also means that if you're the kind of person who's constantly saying bitter things, speaking bitter words, that you can become bitter inside. Conversely, if you constantly speak positively, it's more likely that you would become optimistic. So here's an experiment you can try. In every situation that you face, try to think of something positive to say about the situation. Ben Zander, who's the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra and a motivational speaker, suggests that every setback is also an opportunity. And he has this little game he suggests you play. He says, when somebody brings you bad news, try to make your very first reaction to the news that you've heard, try to say, "That's fantastic!" And then he says, in the stunned silence which follows, you'll have time to think of it and say, "Now what is fantastic about this?" The third point James makes is that words is the connection between words and power. So this is the fourth thing that James says, there's a connection between words and power. He says, not many of you should become teachers. Words have power in and of themselves. But when you add to this power the relative power of the speaker, then you have a powerful force. A teacher or a leader must be particularly careful of what they say. Here's an example. It's an anecdote about Churchill. I don't know whether it's true, but the story goes that he returned after the war. He returned to speak. He was invited to speak at Harrow, the school where he'd been, where he himself had been a pupil. And he arrived on this day, and whether he hadn't prepared or whether he was under the weather on this occasion, the story goes that when, after a long introduction about all his accomplishments during the war, he was invited to stand up and speak, Churchill could only manage to say to the boys, "Never give up." And he sat down again to a standing ovation. Now, the point is that if one of the boys in the school had said, "Never give up," or even if one of the masters had said, "Never give up," it wouldn't have had much impact. It was because of who Churchill was, what he had achieved, what he'd been through, that meant that his words carried weight. Now, obviously, all of this that James is saying in this passage has a moral application, in that we need to watch what we say about ourselves and about others. But today I want to challenge you about something else, not so much a moral issue, but a spiritual issue. I want to say that what we say about God matters. It strikes me that nowadays, very few people say anything about God at all. Even within the church, we talk a lot about all sorts of things, and good things and things that we do and charity work that we do and caring for people, but there's not an awful lot of God talk that goes on. We don't often name the name of God. In the Bible, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a critical moment right about in the middle where Jesus asks his disciples two questions. Who do people say that I am? In other words, what is public opinion about me? And who do you say that I am? What is your personal confession about me? Peter's response, "You are the Christ," his personal confession of who he believes Jesus is, sets the process in motion that will ultimately lead to Jesus' passion and cross. What we say about God matters. Psalm 116 is one of the ascriptive psalms talking about God, and this one says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Biblical scholar Klaus Westermann calls this reporting praise. In other words, this is a way of praising God by reporting what God has done. By saying what the Lord has done for me, I am praising God. And the point here is that testimonies about what God has done, saying those testimonies, expressing those testimonies, have an effect. In my own heart, such an expression of faith in what God has done moves my focus away from me and what I'm doing towards God and what God is doing. Within the church, such words encourage the faithful. And out beyond the church, this is simply evangelism. It's not telling people what they have to believe, simply telling them what God has done for me. So here's my challenge for you this week. A simple challenge. I simply want you to try to use the word God in a sentence this week, or to use the name Jesus in a sentence, and to use them as the subject of the sentence. So to say God and then a verb, or Jesus and a verb, something that God is doing, has done, or that you hope God will do. Let's talk about this God whom we believe, and let's see what new realities are created by speaking his name. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your constant guidance in our lives and for all the ways you encourage, challenge, strengthen, and renew us. We thank you that through song, prayer, preaching, worship, mission, and service, we are still able to hear your voice. Through fellowship and community, we can feel your presence in what we do and say. We thank you that when we see the fields of corn and hear the birds singing, we are hearing you. And when the wind blows, we feel you. We thank you that through Christ's life, work, teaching, death, and resurrection, you speak to us, and that your Holy Spirit inspires, comforts, and empowers us each day. We thank you for the times we have felt lost and have felt your hand take hold of us and lead us forward. Through difficulties, life problems, and illnesses, we thank you for your healing touch. Forgiving God, you have asked us to bear fruit in our lives and to share our faith with others. In your forgiving mercy and grace, cleanse our hearts and minds that we may better serve you, and so that we can feel strengthened to follow you more faithfully each day. Gracious God, we pray for those who struggle against you in thought, word, and deed. We pray for those who knowingly flout your will and exploit others for their own gain. We pray for those who put their trust and faith in false gods, who know there is something missing in their lives but deny that it is you, instead seeking refuge in money, possessions, and success. We pray for our world that is broken and in pain, for those who are in sorrow and need, for the hungry, poor, and lonely, for the sick and bereaved. Be the rock and constant companion through difficult and dark days. This we ask as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us sing our final hymn of today.
Receive God's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.